Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.
Welcome to Point of View. My name is Phemelo Modena. Oh boy, it's the morning after. It's the Monday after that big announcement everybody's been anticipating. Gugu is back. Welcome back to the land of drama.
You, I must tell you, I couldn't even escape the drama whilst I was away.
You know what I mean? So what do you make of the president's announcement yesterday?
Inquiry into the security forces in South Africa, the police specifically. I must say, so let me answer this as a journalist. I'm not surprised. I believe that the president is being true to his character and his form of leadership. Very diplomatic, provides full disclosure, tries to follow through with governance and controls, and essentially doesn't try to preempt any outcomes and decisions. As a South African citizen, I respect the fact that he is following protocol, but I am very well aware that many other South Africans just want decisive leadership and action. And it almost feels as though South Africa has entered this role where we would like to see heads roll, essentially, and accountability that is quick, that is decisive, and that is implemented very quickly without the burden and the constraint to be on our pockets as taxpayers. But even just the level of frustration that it seems as though we constantly talk about moving forward with the necessary reforms, with the necessary leadership and development, but there just seems to be this lack of political will.
Well, that's Guga's opinion. I'd really like to hear yours as well on 086-000-00959. You can also send voice notes on 0636880959. I'll get political reaction. In fact, I've got now on the line Action SA leader Herman Mashaba. Ntate Mashaba, good evening and welcome, and thank you so much for your time this evening.
Thank you so much, and good evening to the listeners, and good evening to Gugu there in the studio as well.
What was your immediate reaction, Ntate Mashaba, after the president's announcement?
Well, quite disappointing. I mean, another opportunity lost, a big opportunity for that matter. I just heard Gugu saying that the president is following process. There's no process whatsoever being followed. These are just political platitudes, because unfortunately, our president is one president with no spine to really take the necessary leadership that can really provide and give South Africans hope that we are being led. We are on an absolute autopilot. I can tell you right now, any president anywhere in the world with what General Mkhwanazi exposed last Sunday already, even if the president was in mass, we would have taken with such allegations immediately take decisions with the minister. Because let me tell you why I'm saying so. Because the appointment of a minister, it's not subject to the normal employment process. Ministers are appointed at the prerogative, at the discretion of the president. Whether he hires you or fires you today and tomorrow, it doesn't really matter. The labor laws do not apply here. And that's something that South Africans must be aware of. So if in the case of the Minister of Finance, with allegation from a senior police officer claiming and alleging that there's a collusion with a criminal syndicate, a minister like that, honestly, as soon as you hear about it and coming directly from a senior policeman like General Mkhwanazi, and honestly, any leader anywhere in the world would have immediately upon the conclusion of that press conference by Mkhwanazi, immediately, not even suspend, actually to fire that minister, and you can deal with the other inquiries afterwards. Because at the end of the day, you cannot afford to compromise your country. More especially in our country where people have lost faith in our criminal justice system. Men and women in blue are compromised by this lack of leadership by President Cyril Ramaphosa.
So ideally for you as Action SA, you would have wanted him to fire the minister?
I would have fired him immediately after the press conference. just with what Mukwananzi brought to attention and exposed, I can tell you any leader anywhere in the world would have fired him instantly. And you will deal with the investigations afterwards, because fortunate enough, you don't really have any processes to follow that. Someone will take you to the CCMA, to a labor consultant, whatever, because the appointment of ministers is at the discretion of the president. And the president has got a constitutional obligation to ensure that ethical leadership applies. Every decision that you take it in the interest of society, not in the interest of your political comrades and your mates.
With regards to the inquiry, what are your thoughts around that?
Well, it's another political platitude, just really buying time. We have the Zondo Commission 3 years down the line. The files are gathering dust. So I think the president is just really playing around with our emotion. And I think, you know, I remember this morning in one of the interviews with the acting person that the president has suggested. I said, as far as I know the person, because I don't know the person well, and I thought, well, hopefully it's someone ethical who can really bring stability to the police. But I see the last few hours, I see images or in social media platforms, people coming out with evidence that this person was also implicated in the Zondo Commission. Now, you ask yourself, my goodness, when is the president going to surround himself with ethical leaders? It's like this country does not have ethical leaders. And that's something that I personally reject, that South Africa does not have ethical people. It is just the nature of the president and the ANC to always surround themselves with people with smaller nyana issues. I don't know why such a culture and where it actually comes from. And unfortunately, it compromises all of us as black people, because the world and others are looking at us as, you know what, that's why these people, we put them in chains in the past, because they cannot really be trusted. And I refuse for me as a black person to be associated with crooks, with unethical, corrupt people.
EFF has declared that they're going to be seeking legal advice. Are you going to take any action as Action SA?
Well, I think if EFF is doing this, so we'll watch and we will support what I saw them already actually disputing this matter. I've actually requested our parliamentary legal team to really look at the legality of the appointment of this individual. So obviously, if the EFF has already taken it up, we will give them our moral support and any other support, but there's no reason for us to really climb over the bank. But I think if it is true, and I'm sure by tomorrow I'll have the report back from our legal team in Parliament to see if the president acted legally and constitutionally. But I have a problem, because if I see images of this person who's supposed to be the acting police commissioner, as involvement in the Zondo Commission, already it's a red flag. And ask yourself, why is President Cyril Ramaphosa always looking for people with questionable characters? I don't know. Honestly, it's really so upsetting. It's because this is not only harming the ANC, it's harming South Africa, it's harming us as big people. Because when people look at them and they look at me, physically, they, you know, then all of a sudden, you know, people would really say, look, we told you. That's what I said. That's why they will justify putting us in chains, because we cannot really be trusted.
Action SA leader Herman Mashaba. We were speaking about the EFF just now. They are on the line with us. EFF MP Mazwi Blose is on the line. A very good evening to you, and thank you so much for joining us on Point of View.
Good evening to you and your listeners at home.
Yesterday, the EFF was very quick to respond to the presentation by the president and his announcement. And we got an announcement from the spokesperson of the EFF saying that you will be looking into legal advice and decide from there. Have you decided as the EFF what you're going to do going forward?
No, look, in fact, yesterday's announcement by the president was really a disappointment in many fronts, let alone the legal loophole that now exists in terms of appointments of the acting minister. Everything else that he would have announced there was just not satisfactory, not only to us as an opposition party, but to the people of South Africa at large. Now, there is no provision in what the president would have announced yesterday to appoint an acting minister. The constitution does not make provision in section 93(1)(c) as you quoted. The provisions for acting roles is in section 98, and it clearly stipulates that acting roles can only be given to current cabinet ministers. So you cannot go and outsource an acting minister outside. A current minister can only take up a role of another minister if he or she is unavailable to take up that role. So that's the legality that is now faced with Cyril Ramaphosa's appointment, let alone that what he has announced in terms of the commission is just another exercise to try and clean Senzo Mkhunu, let alone that Senzo Mkhunu will remain with full packages and a full salary for the next year without doing anything. There's no accountability. What is even worse, we are saddened by, you know, people, ordinary citizens who want to be whistleblowers. I mean, this is Lieutenant General Mkhwanazi, an entire provincial commissioner of KwaZulu-Natal, who has played the role of a whistleblower. The person that he would have, you know, articulated this damning claim about still remains in office, still remains a salary. There's nothing that has been done, but everything has been deferred to a particular commission that will come back later with the report that will have recommendations for further investigation. So really, we are disappointed as a political party, but also we have noted the frustrations of our people on the ground as well.
So I suppose you'll have to wait, because he has not been appointed yet, and perhaps they will still decide to bring him into cabinet. And until then, you wouldn't really have much wiggle room legally to challenge the president.
No, but the problem is that the announcement of the president shows that himself is a constitutional delinquent. He was ill-advised, because he doesn't say that he's going to bring this guy to cabinet and then give him an acting role. So the president, what the president said to us yesterday, he said that he has then appointed Professor Farooz to be the acting minister, but he's only going to take up his acting role at the end of July, because there's something that he still needs to deal with, whatever. And in the interim, he'll then appoint another acting minister up until Farooz is available to take up the acting role. So he has never made an intention that he's going to bring, but if he brings him to cabinet, he's bringing him to cabinet as what? Because the constitution also does not allow or make provisions for someone to be appointed into cabinet, a minister with that portfolio. There's no provision for that in our constitution. So we then have to make, you know, a particular role for him. He has to fire a minister to make him a minister and then make him acting minister of police. It's just an entitlement that really doesn't make sense for us. So we are going to take this up as an organization within the corridors of parliament, but also we are still looking at what type of remedy we can go and seek in the courts, if any is possible at this stage.
Yeah, I accept what you're saying. What I'm saying is, I suppose you'll have to wait for that time to come about, because at the moment the appointment hasn't happened. It's just an announcement. Another route, yeah?
No, you are correct in that, but we are saying now we are responding in terms of what his intention, because he has already told us what he's intending to do. And we are saying that whatever that he has announced yesterday is legally flawed. It has no legal basis. It's not supported by the constitution. It's not even supported by the legislation that he has quoted. Mm-hmm. So the mere fact that he has made that announcement to intend in doing that, that's why then we have then issued our statement to say that what the president intends to do is actually legal fraud. And, but you are correct that we cannot then go to court and challenge that at the moment because the appointment has not been effective. As well, we are also looking in terms of then what could be the possible remedy if then the appointment is done. But in terms of now the accountability around Senzo Mthono, that also still needs to be looked into because this thing of trying to defer everything to a commission is really not going to bear any fruit and it's not going to yield the results that we intend to see.
Your overall attitude to the commission itself?
We are against the commission. We don't think that the commission is going to yield the results. In fact, what commissions do, they tend to become like a cleaning agent for corruption. So if whenever the people who are corrupt, they are sent to a commission to buy time, to frustrate the process, up until people tend to forget. I mean, the latest commission we come from is the Zondo Commission, which had a lot of findings about 3 volumes of reports and everything else. But sitting here today, single individual who has been prosecuted because of that, because it made further recommendations, for further investigations and all of that. So it's always just a tedious exercise just to buy time up until people leave office or people even are old enough to depart, and some of them even die while they're still waiting for these reports and everything else. So ours is to say that whatever that General Mkhwanazi had brought to the fore must be investigated immediately, whether through a special investigation that is going to be set up or through parliamentary processes whereby all these allegations are tested so that we are able to reach to the finality of it. Because what the General had declared there shows that our state has been captured by criminals, and we cannot allow to operate for an entire year waiting for a commission to get evidence that is not going to even have binding recommendations. So we are saying that there has to be a process that will look into this at a much quicker rate, but would also that will have a biting element to it so that those who are found in the wrong are able to be held accountable.
So ideally for you, are you saying that what the Speaker had announced in her request for the various portfolio committees to investigate, would that have been adequate for you, or would you have wanted something more than that?
Yes, that would have been a correct channel, because remember, even us as an organization, we've taken this matter to the ethics committee in Parliament, where we have called that something must be brought forward in terms of the ethics committee, so that we are able to investigate some of these issues there. But also the portfolio committee of police within Parliament is one of the channels that you could use. The portfolio police of justice within Parliament is also one of the channels that you could use, because also what then you do with the, you are not going to drag the process, because what you're going to, you can set up a particular time, set up particular days for these things to come forward. You call the general to come and give evidence. You call the minister to come and respond. And then the portfolio can actually make recommendations which can be binding and which can be taken into account in the immediate, while then you wait for criminal investigations. But as we stand now, we are to test, you know, the capture of the police services by this criminal syndicate, so that those who are then involved must then be held accountable. Again, we don't understand why Senzo Mthunu is even suspended. I mean, it's put on special leave. Why would you put him on special leave? Just suspend him, take him out of cabinet, and then allow this process to take place. You can always bring him back if he's cleared, but take him out of cabinet, because now you're allowing him to earn a salary. He has full bodyguards and full protection for an entire year. And then we are still saying that this country doesn't have money, but we've got money to pay ministers and deputy ministers. Whereas the Portfolio Committee of Police has got 2 deputy ministers. Now you've got 4 people in one position in the country, which is unheard of, and it's really not warranted. The President Cyril Ramaphosa must just, you know, develop some leadership skill and be adamant in what he wants to do, and be clear and make sure that he takes decisions that will take the people of this country into confidence.
All right, EFF MP Mazwi Plose, and you've heard what they've had to say about that. Essentially, you may remember that the Speaker of Parliament had asked the 3 portfolio committees to investigate all of this, and the EFF is saying, well, that may have been enough. We may not necessarily be interested in an inquiry, because they say to them it's too long. So here's the thing, right? So I want to hear your point, because I want to take your calls on 086-000-959 and also your WhatsApps on 0636-880-959. In as much as everybody speaks of how the president should have fired the police minister, Senzo Mkhulu, politically, really, would you, if you were in his shoes, have fired Senzo Mkhulu? Absolutely not. So I don't have to like it, but I most definitely understand it, because the president doesn't only answer to the country. The president would still have to face his own comrades within the ANC. And if what we know about his relationship with the minister is anything to go by, there is no way the president was going to be firing the police minister. It just was not going to happen. A lot is going on within the ANC that the president had to navigate. And I am curious, though, what it is that the minister himself is so sure of, because I would have made it easy. I would have resigned if I were him, but he's not. And so we should ask ourselves, why isn't he resigning? Why has he decided to stay put? And those are the dynamics that we are not talking about. The dynamics within the ANC and what it would have meant for the president to actually ultimately fire the minister. Because yes, we want what we want, but how damaging would this have been within the ANC? That's actually the question.
Point of view. Call Kimelo Mudine now. 086-000-959.
Call now.
Kaya 959.
On the street.
On the air.
It is our Monday edition of Point of View. Looking forward to your reaction to yesterday's announcement by the president, the president of the police. The president of the police, the minister of police, being given special leave. And there is absolute outrage in the country because people are unhappy about, number one, the inquiry, number two, that the minister was not sacked. I'd love to hear what you make of this. 086-000-959. Let me go to Dolly in Soweto. Hello, Dolly.
Hi, Pimelo. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm always complaining, man. Pimelo, what's going on in this country?
Yay, what's going on?
Let's start here, my dear. First and foremost, South Africa is not for ANC, right? South Africa is for South Africans, right? Mm. So ANC is just a ruling party, right? That does not listen to its people, that does not take into consideration whatever cries the people of South Africa are crying about, right? Secondly, Pimelo, Ntate Lucas Mangope once said, where have you seen the banditi, a criminal, ruling a country? Are they Afubona? And he was a laughing stock, right? What is happening today? What is really happening today? Why is Senzo Mkhulu not fired, Pimelo? Because, first of all, the person who spilled the beans is the person who is on top there in the rule of law, right? Mm. So what are they waiting for now? They're waiting for Ntantla Mkhwanazi to be killed, to be assassinated, like a whole of other people who only speak out the truth and then they get killed. Is that what they're waiting for? What is the 3 to 6 months for? What is it that they are trying to hide? In closing, Pimelo, what I'm going to say is that in South Africa, we are just like a household that doesn't have a father. Bye-bye, my dear.
Bye-bye. Thank you so much for that. And I'll continue to take your reaction. I also have on the line chairperson of the Portfolio Committee of Police. That is Ian Cameron, who we know is also a DA Member of Parliament. Thank you so much for making time for us. Good evening and welcome.
Good evening. Thank you very much.
You know, several times when you and I have spoken, one of the things that you were concerned about, even before your role as portfolio chair, was the police intelligence. And you had commented several times about how it's inadequate and it needs to be, you know, absolutely looked into. Does this inquiry bring you any comfort at all?
It's too early for me to say. On face value, the answer is simply no. And the reason is I've lost trust in commissions. I've just never seen the result come out of it. I've never seen anyone put behind bars. And to be honest with you, it feels like a kick to the sideline. Mm-hmm. It's a way of buying time and trying to deflect accountability. I was listening to your previous listener that was that was speaking, and I can't agree with her more. I think she's absolutely spot on. I think we've come to a point where the country, and especially the law enforcement fraternity, is mostly captured, not because everyone in it is bad, but because in certain key positions, people have been have infiltrated the system to a point where it is completely paralyzed. And many state players, and probably the president from what we heard last night, would like to tell you otherwise. But South Africans on ground level are bearing the brunt, and we can feel it, we can see it. So why don't we believe it?
What would have been ideal to get to the bottom of what these allegations are?
I don't think there's one remedy alone. Let's start with what a few could possibly be. First of all, in terms of our parliamentary work, we're going ahead.
Yes.
We've got a joint session on Wednesday, the Police Portfolio Committee, along with the Justice Committee, and we'll announce accordingly afterwards.
Okay.
But I think the SIU, the Special Investigation Unit, has a significant role to play, and that's something that I think should have been announced as well, with very specific targets and very specific timeframes and outcomes that they need to bring to the table. I don't agree with the so-called leave of absence. I think it creates the wrong impression. And I think the way that everything was announced last night was kind of lukewarm. I didn't get the impression that there's been consultation to the point, for example, the National Commissioner, that there's any form of confirmation that the Deputy National Commissioner, as well as everyone else implicated in senior SAPS ranks, would be suspended in the coming week. I didn't get the impression at all that there is a solid day-to-day action plan with the relevant feedback being given to the so-called Commander-in-Chief of the Armed Forces, which is the President. And then, of course, there was no indication of what the immediate disciplinary steps would be to ensure that the investigations that need to now happen are protected in terms of their integrity, but also what's left of SAPS's integrity.
So obviously you've said, you know, your own committee as well as the Justice Committee is well underway to get their investigation going. What are your thoughts on the remedies that may come after that?
Well, I think in terms of the parliamentary process,
yes.
I think we've got an opportunity to do certain things faster. I think Parliament is very well positioned in terms of that, and obviously it can ensure that there shouldn't be any duplication in terms of the Commission. I think we've got an opportunity in terms of how we positioned according to the Constitution that we have to hold the Executive to account. We can summon whoever we deem fit to answer, and the fact that it will be a joint inquiry means we can have a far broader reach in terms of the figuratively speaking net that we cast to bring in everyone that needs to account. The recommendations that come from there, if adopted by the House, would then allow us to really hold the executives to account. So, for example, if we see that General X, Y, and Z should have criminal charges pressed in a specific matter, indicate prima facie evidence, then we can hold him to account as to why and why not. And we have seen before that Parliament is able to do that. We saw success with the way that Parliament conducted its inquiry with regards to Marikana and the results that came out of that. So I think Parliament is well positioned, and I think we need to play a leading role in this.
Ian, are you aware at executive level if there was consultation with GNU partners? We are told that the president yesterday was late because he was, you know, either informing or consulting with GNU partners. Are you aware of that?
Certainly not. In terms of the Democratic Alliance, there was no form of consultation whatsoever. Even within ANC ranks, many, many people didn't know what was going to be announced. From where I'm standing, there was no indication towards the DA to consult.
You're well versed with the security cluster. Your sense of Professor the incoming acting police minister, I'm going to pronounce the name correctly just now when I'm done with dealing with my tongue twisters. Your sense of him?
Kachan. Yeah, so I haven't been able to fault him in any way. I think he's been given a very, very difficult task. I think he walks into an environment that is going to, he might struggle to find trustworthy allies. But that being said, I think it's very brave of him to accept the offer, and I think he's got a big task ahead of him. Mm-hmm. In terms of his experience and competence, I think he's experienced and competent enough to take on the job, and I hope that with the unreleased report on organized crime that has been spoken of, that they will be using as a bit of a foundation to tackle some of the issues. I really hope that is a strong foundation. I haven't seen it myself, but yeah, it would be very interesting to see where they would start working.
So you haven't seen the report. Your sense of his term as MEC before?
To be honest with you, I don't know enough about it. The little bit that I read, I didn't pick up anything that is extremely controversial. I see already there's a bit of allegations and things doing the rounds in terms of tenders on social media, but nothing that I've been able to verify. The problem at the moment is, and I think it's important that people give him a fair opportunity to do what he needs to do. The problem is at the moment, especially with this crisis in the South African Police Service, the amount of disinformation doing the rounds makes it really, really difficult to get an accurate answer for whatever it is you're researching.
Ian, I never got a chance to speak to you immediately after General Mkhwanazi's press briefing. Your sense of that particular briefing and the allegations themselves?
Yeah, so I can't think that General Mkhwanazi would have taken the risk to do an announcement like that if there wasn't evidence to back it up. It would be an entire career down the drain. Mm. That being said, I think it's critical for us to be as objective as we can. I understand the frustration that people feel, and I agree that the relevant persons must enjoy the protection that they deserve. But I think it's important that we approach this as objectively as we can. The problem, if you move General Mkhwanazi out of the picture that he sketched, the problem is that SAPS has been plagued with factional fights and especially political interference over the past 15 to 20 years, and that's just increased. And I think a lot of that so-called plague has been it's the same plague. It never really changed. At face value, it might look slightly different, but it's usually the same stakeholders in the background. So I look forward to engaging with this investigation process. I think we have a real opportunity to turn things. I think that's what felt so disappointing about the president's speech last night, not because a commission is theoretically bad, but just because the experience that we've had with commissions didn't show real consequence. Mm.
Chairperson of the Portfolio Committee on Police, I really appreciate you talking to us this evening. Ian Cameron there, and their take as the DA number one, and obviously he's also speaking on behalf of the Portfolio Committee. He says that their work is going to actually go ahead themselves, as well as the Justice Committee. Remember that the Speaker had actually asked and tasked them with doing some investigation on the very matter. So hopefully their report will be quite, it will come through very quickly. And then they will obviously then go through the parliamentary processes in dealing with that, and obviously the recommendations thereof. So we'll obviously look out for that. I do want to take a few of your voice notes as well coming through on 0636880959.
Pimelo, hope you're well. Senzo knows that nothing is going to happen to him. I also would be confident in his shoes. Nothing will happen. What happened to Mochelo Koko? Nothing. Brian Molefe? Nothing. Nothing happens to anybody if you're connected to the ANC. Nothing will happen to you. That's why he's chilling now, enjoying taxpayers' money, living his very best life. So nothing will happen. He's well protected. Hector in Madrid.
Good evening, Wanamutini. Good evening. Ay, kuningi, gule kanti. Kuningi. Yitsi. Sibonile, abantu base South Africa. Ke reboni. Reboni ANC, reboni. Let's do the right thing. Starting from next year, let's do the right thing by voting. So re bone re palloetsa ke re ba file chance so re palloa hore ba itse ntho tse right bona. So rona ha re think ntho tse right. Peter Puno Mashazi from Foslo. Danko, all I have to say, I'm disappointed on you, Mr. President. Shame on you.
Okay, I'm going to take more of your reaction. I've got Sammy in Pretoria. Sammy, good evening and welcome. Sammy?
Timolo, can you hear me?
I can. Welcome to Point of View.
Yes. You know what I want to say is this. Ramaphosa is doing this to save his own skin. Because right now, Ramaphosa is not in a good position. Because if you look, DA is already tending to a motion of confidence against him. Other parties are tending to do the same. And he's doing all this to, you know, not to do a disunity within the ANC. Because if he's going to fire this guy, you don't know who is he going to piss off within the ANC. So if he's going to fire him, whenever there's a motion of no confidence against him, he risks having tigers on his back from his own party. Remember, this is a man who said that ANC unity is far more important than our country. So if I send something, what's going to happen? There are some people within the ANC that might be disgruntled and vote to the opposition. Then that might be the end of his political career. So he's doing it to save himself, because unlike the previous ANC presidents, this one is standing on shaky grounds.
Yeah.
You remember Zuma could hire and fire as he wishes. So could Mbeki do the same. Mandela also did the same. They were firing people as they wish, but this one can't.
Yeah.
He's got like some shady people within his cabinet, but he's too scared to fire them, because he knows that this is GNU. ANC has got nothing. What did they get? 42%. So if the DA decides tomorrow, we're gonna raise a motion of no confidence. NK is gonna jump on board, EFF is gonna jump on board. With Sanson being fired, some ANC people, especially within the RE chief faction, they're gonna jump on board as well. That was gonna be the end of Ramaphosa.
Sammy there in Pretoria, I really appreciate your call there as well. And I'll continue to take your reaction as well, by the way, on 063-688-0959. And I don't think this is going to end today. I think this is a story we'll be watching for not just a year. I thought it was just going to be a year. But clearly, by the look of things, it's going to be with us for some time. 086-000-0959. And you can also send voice notes on 063-688-0959.
Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.